I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Daniel Pipes on. He's the founder and director of the Middle East Forum, widely read, widely heard. Daniel Pipes, welcome to the Dennis Prager Show.
Thank you. Good morning, Dennis.
You have probably been in overdrive this last week. Have you slept?
You know, the Middle East and Islam, my two subjects, just keep on getting more and more frenetic. It's hard to keep up. It's hard to sleep. Yeah.
Well, you'll never be unemployed.
No.
Look at the bright side.
You know, you're that to my wife. Yes.
I'm sorry, you point that out to your wife, or you will. Oh, I see.
I have, yeah. No, she complains about how I'm not around. I say, well, at least
right.
I'm employed, right?
Right, exactly. And it does pay the bills. But people need to read you and hear you. First, before anything, where would you like to send them? To what website?
To understand the issues.
No. Do you have one, don't you?
Do I have one? Yes.
Yes.
I have one, danielpipes.org.
Yeah, well, that's easy. Danielpipes.org.
And also MEforum, as in Middle East Forum.org.
MEforum also .org. All right. There were two things. First, I read your piece and commentary, Can Islam Be Reformed? And I want to definitely talk about that. But, of course, the thing uppermost in people's mind is what happened in Egypt. Now, I'm going to bounce off some thoughts, but I want to hear from you. I do believe that what happened, and I have zero sympathy, I have great antipathy for the Muslim Brotherhood, but in my opinion, though reading you, I'm not sure this is your opinion, would you call this a coup? I would.
Yes, I think it fits the definition. Or to be a little more technical, a democratic coup, a coup undertaken in order to fulfill the goals of democracy, but a coup it is. It's not a revolution.
Now, a coup would, if the United States government said that, it would involve cutting off aid to the government that got in through a coup. Is that not
then it's
correct?
Lucky that both you and I are not government employees. So.
Uh-huh. So there is some sympathy for the president's dilemma here.
Yeah. It is tough. No question.
Okay. All right. So, right. So first, as I always say on my show, first tell the truth, then give your opinion. So the truth is, we had a coup here. Now, you say it was a democratic coup, and where you differ from others writing on this, that I have, at least to the best of my knowledge, you believe that he was not elected democratically.
Exactly. Oh, it is very frustrating for me to see that universally the news coverage refers to him as legitimately democratically elected president of Egypt. There is so much reason to think that's not the case. Let me just cite one fact from a year ago, that it was a full week between the election taking place and the results being announced, in which there was intense scurrying about and negotiating. And I think the numbers were figured out during that week. It was a very complicated situation, but in brief, the military brought off a revolution, not a coup, but a revolution in 1952. Change the structures of Egyptian government.
Well, let me just say for everybody, that was the overthrowing of a king and the establishment of a colonel named Nasser as the leader of Egypt.
And he was a colonel, that's the key point. He was the military. And all the rulers from his time until a year ago were military men, generals, colonels, and the like. And they ruled...
Mubarak was from the Air Force?
That's right,
general
of the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And they ruled with the military behind them. The military wasn't fully running the country, but the president ruled on behalf of the military. And of course, he had a great deal of leeway, so long as they found it acceptable. And what Mubarak did that was so important, didn't get too much notice, was that he wanted his son, the banker who was in London, to succeed him. And the military said, no, we don't like this at all. And the military exploited the Tahrir Square demonstrations to bounce Mubarak, and they get rid of him and his sons and their cohorts. And at that point, the military, the head of the military, a man named Tantawi, took over directly and ran the country for a year and a half between early 2011 and mid 2012. And then he sought to find someone who he could control. And he thought that Morsi would be the one. Morsi is an unimpressive figure. Clearly not the outstanding
thing. All right, let me stop there for one second because we have to take a break. I'm speaking to one of the authorities in the world on the Middle East and Islam, Daniel Pipes, founder and director of the Middle East Forum. We'll continue his analysis of what happened in Egypt You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show. Hello, my friends. I'm talking to Daniel Pipes, one of the authorities in the country on Islam and the Middle East. And I read his two of his most recent columns, one in Commentary, Can Islam Be Reformed? And the other in National Review on what happened this past week in Egypt. So we were talking about what has happened. He is among the only ones to say, that is Daniel Pipes, is one of the only ones to say that, in fact, while this was a coup, it was a democratic, or I assume by democratic you mean pro-democracy. A coup, because Morsi was not bona fide elected. And you were giving a history here, so we had, which is, by the way, I think fair to say, a synopsis or an explication of one of your very powerful lines in what you wrote, that there were two forces in Egypt, the army and the Islamists.
Right. And others, indeed our friends there, are not in either of those two camps.
We have friends there?
Oh, yes, we do. Yes. And unfortunately, American policy has been, especially under Obama, but even under Bush, to work with the Islamists, to help them, to try and have good relations with them. Whereas my view is that working with Islamists is like working with Nazis. Absolutely unacceptable in any form, at any time. And what we should do is seek out Egyptians, Syrians, Libyans, whoever, who look at the world like we do. Want to modernize?
Can you name any that we would be familiar with, or not?
Well, the drama of the past days in Egypt has been in large part impelled, just as it was in early 2011, by people who want freedom such as we have.
Well, but these are people who have digested hate of America and hate of Israel in their daily food.
No, I don't think so. There are a significant number of Egyptians, particularly young Egyptians, who have said no to this and who want to lead a different kind of life. And they are the ones we should seek out. Let's not argue over their numbers. I'll agree that they are fractured and far from the corridors of power. But I do believe that they're the ones we should invest in. They're the ones who can bring Egypt out of its current morass. They're the hope for the future.
So who is the current leader now?
Well, the current leader is, as it in effect always has been, the head of the military, who now is Abdel Fattah. Sisi.
Right, but so who's the figurehead head?
The figurehead is a new person on the scene who had quite a week last week. He's been on the Constitutional Court, their version of the Supreme Court, for some 21 years. On Monday he was promoted to head of the court, and on Wednesday he was promoted to president. And his name is Abdel Mansour. We know almost nothing about him. But from what we are learning in the last few days, he seems to be pretty good.
Okay, so let me go to a bottom line and then go backwards. You acknowledge it's a coup. You call it a democratic coup. Fine, because I believe there was a democratic, but I don't think it was coup, really, what happened in Honduras. But when I even went down to Honduras, I was so aggravated over it. But back to Egypt. So it was this coup. So if they had called Daniel Pipes a week ago, I'm putting you on the spot. Daniel would really admire your writings here in Egypt. Should we remove this guy from office or not? What would you have said?
Well, I would have been very tortured about that and probably said no, because to me, the story here is about discrediting Islamism. To me, as I mentioned before, Islamism is the new totalitarian menace, like fascism and communism in earlier decades. And to me, the most important thing is that in Egypt and beyond, Islamism be discredited. And now that Morsi has been taken out so quickly, I worry that the Islamist role in all this, and the problems that now exist, that proliferate in Egypt, will be forgotten. And so I probably would have said no.
I just want to say this is exactly what I believe. Exactly. I said it because I'm sure many of my listeners thought Dennis Prager thinking the Islamists should not be overthrown. But if they needed the time to really, I hate to say this, ruin Egypt, and then the Islamic world will say, maybe these are not the people we want to lead us.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
So why did the Army do this?
There was a break between Morsi and Sisi. Morsi had great trust in Sisi, and Sisi didn't fulfill that trust. Sisi got impatient, and I can't tell you what his exact thinking was, but he decided enough is enough, time to pull the rug from under this clown, and he did so. And now, I don't know what's coming next.
Well, now every Islamist in the world can say, you see, they told us ballots, baloney. We can't, even though you, Daniel Pipes, do believe that it wasn't ballots. Let me read to you Thomas Friedman on that, and I don't agree with Thomas Friedman almost ever, but I do want to read this. Always remember, Morsi narrowly won the presidency by 51% of the vote because he managed to persuade many secular and pious but non-Islamist Egyptians that he would govern from the center, focus on the economy, and be inclusive. So... and his next, the Muslim Brotherhood never could have won 51% with just its base alone. But he does believe that even though he fooled people, he did get 51% of the vote. You don't believe that?
No, I think you go to Thomas Friedman for conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom held that the elections were proper. And indeed, that earlier elections for parliament, the Islamists had won 72%. So 51 was easy. No, I don't believe those figures at all. I don't think the Islamists had anything like that kind of support.
When they argue that they were going to do irrevocable damage to institutions of Egypt, do you believe... what does that mean, irrevocable? That's the common word.
Well, I think what they're suggesting is that they will start a civil insurrection. And indeed, that has been the case over the last few days. I would still be surprised if they try and bring down the existing... authorities. The military's been there for a very long time in charge, decades. There were the demonstration on Sunday, June 30th, was probably the largest political demonstration in human history.
In human history, I know. We'll be back in a moment. Final segment coming up with Daniel Pipes, who is the founder and director of the Middle East Forum. We shall return momentarily. I'm Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager here talking to one of the great experts on the Middle East and Islam, Daniel Pipes of the Middle East Forum, meforum.org. So in the few minutes remaining here, I want to go to your other piece and commentary, Can Islam Be Reformed? And you believe it can. And again, I as it just happens, we're in agreement. You wrote here, it always remained, that is talking about Islam over the last centuries, it always remained vulnerable to challenge by purists. Well, why won't it always be vulnerable to challenge by purists?
Because accommodations made in the past were not really deeply based, and I think they can be now. We're in an era where religion changes, and Islam can change like other religions.
All right, so why don't you delineate... what has to be dropped? For example, the belief that society should be dominated by or governed by Sharia. Is that correct? Is that one?
That would be one. I mean, look at the closest parallel to Islam, which is Judaism. And Judaism had, for many centuries, a functioning public law. And then now, for two millennia, it basically doesn't have a public law. So if Judaism can change, Islam can change. And if Christianity can change, Islam can change. If Buddhism can change, Islam can change. And Islam indeed has changed. Indeed, in my own career, which started in the late 1960s, Islam is very different than it was then. So,
in which direction?
Negative. But anything go down can go up. Anything that's human changes over time.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question. I'll bet nobody's asked you.
Okay.
But it's plagued me since I did the research for this part of my last book. In doing my research, I came across on a number of occasions, but quite rare because nobody seems to cover it. Do you agree or disagree with the statement made by the head of the India Historical Association a number of decades ago and made in a story, the story of history, or whatever the name is, the Will Durant study of history? 60 million Hindus were killed under Islamic rule over the course of a millennium.
It was a very large number, and the Hindus suffered very badly at Muslim hands. Hindus are not people of the book.
Okay.
Treated worse than Jews and Christians. So
right.
I don't know the number, but...
All right, fair enough.
Very large number, yes.
All right, so when we do a part two on this, and I hope you will, I'm going to ask you why there's optimism and why you look at the past for that optimism with regard to Islam, okay?
Okay.
All right, listen, thank you for your time. Obviously, I'm a big reader of your work.
Thank you, Dennis. Look forward to chatting again.
Good, thank you. Daniel Pipes, Middle East Forum.